Our scripture reading today comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. I'll give you, it's only two verses, so I'll give you a moment if you want to read with me. It's very, very short. The heading is "The Narrow and Wide Gates." Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road of life, and only a few find it. The word of God for the people of God.
Well, I thought I would go with a very short scripture, primarily because half the time I can't remember all the scriptures that we have every Sunday, but I thought, well, let's go with one that's really short and meaningful and impactful. And what's interesting about this particular scripture reading, it's one of many from the Sermon on the Mount. But as you read those words, it's really talking about, as Jesus talked to those that listened, he was talking about choice. He was essentially saying that we have, through our life, choices. And as we walk through those paths of life, or down the path of life, we're going to encounter those intersections where we have to make decisions. And that can be 1,000 times a day. It can be one major one a day. But there's choices that confront us every single day. And he's essentially asking, which one are you going to choose? And as I was preparing this morning's message, I got to thinking about the poem that we're all familiar with at some point, the Robert Frost poem called "The Road Not Taken." But I looked at it and read it in a totally different light when I read that scripture passage. And I thought, what if I read that again and read it from a biblical perspective? It does take on a whole different meaning. And I've heard this poem 1,000 times. And really, I just thought it was about a guy who came to a Y in the forest, and he just chose a path that nobody else took, and it was a lot different for him. But listen to these words in light of the scripture and see if they take on a different meaning. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both, and be one traveler long I stood, and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth, then took the other as just as fair and having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear, though as for the passing there had worn them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay, in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day. Yet knowing how the way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all of the difference. And it's about a choice he made. And as I was preparing this message, we went up to Ohio State last week and met Taylor. And he went to the game, went to lunch with us, went to the ball game. And he said, "Dad, we started classes, and the professor sort of forced us to make a choice." And I said, "What was the choice?" He said, "Well, when we stood up, there was about 30 in class, and each one of us had to choose what creature would we be for 24 hours. If we could be a human, choose a creature for 24 hours, and then we would revert back to a human." So his classmates went through, you know, the typical wolf and giraffe and bear and all the reasons. They got to Taylor, and he stood up, and he said, "I want to be a fruit fly." They all sort of chuckled and looked at him, and he said, "A fruit fly? Why in the world would you want to be a fruit fly?" And depending on the temperature in your house, a fruit fly's life can be as short as one day. So he told the professor, when they said, "Why would you want to be a fruit fly?" And he said, "So that I could experience all of life in 24 hours. And the professor said, "Wow, that's deep. And Taylor said, well, it's probably deepest I'm going to be all semester, so let's enjoy it. And I thought when he said that, wow, that's interesting. What would our life be like if you were asked to compress all of your life into one day? And the time we had on this earth was for 24 hours. What choices would we make? Would we be different? Would I be any different tomorrow than I am going to be tomorrow? Hopefully, God willing, I make it to tomorrow. In the choices that I make? I don't know. But it does force you to look at the world a little differently when you think that you've got 24 hours and that's all you have. I can remember years ago, there was a radio talk show host, kind of controversial, but he had an awesome talk show, I thought, G. Gordon Liddy. And somebody called in, Sally and I were in the car driving up I-71. And a young lady called in and said, very, very upset, she had just been diagnosed with terminal cancer and there was no cure and she had a very short period of time. Not 24 hours, but measured in months. And there was a long pause, and G. Gordon Liddy said to her, you know, you are probably one of the luckiest people on earth. And I'm driving the car going, what? She just called in, she's upset, and you're telling her she's one of the luckiest people on earth? And there was this long pause as well on the radio. And then he continued to tell her the many opportunities she would have that most of us don't ever take because of our diagnosis. He said, you're going to go back and you're going to look at the people that are meaningful in your life, whether it was in grade school or high school, organizations, neighbors, friends, family members, and you're going to have an opportunity to say to them how much they meant to you. Now he said to her, you may not take up that opportunity, but God has granted you an opportunity that oftentimes, he said, I could die of a heart attack tomorrow, and I don't know that I have said thank you to all the people that helped me to become who I am, where I am today. You'll have a choice on how you handle this. And I thought, wow, that's interesting. It is about choice and what happens in our lives. And that's where our scripture came from today, from the Sermon on the Mount, as I indicated. And when you look at that, there are so many things that Jesus instructed. But he anticipated that in our lives, at all points of our lives, we would have to make choices. Some of those choices can be trivial, as displayed in this commercial by Progressive.
So what happens if I'm in an accident and need to get my car fixed?
Progressive makes it easy because we give you choices. You can pick where to get your car fixed. We can cut you a check. Or at our service center, we take care of everything for you.
Oh, so many choices.
Take your time.
The service center.
Okay.
Giving you choices. Now that's Progressive. Call or click today.
She didn't waste any time. But we're faced with those choices, paper, plastic, and all the proverbial funny ones that are out there. But what really God, and through Jesus, was telling us is there are going to be tough choices where you're going to decide whether you take the narrow road or the broad road. And some of those choices are tough. They're emotionally difficult. And as one young man talked about losing his mother, he talked about the tough choice he faced, whether to... in a medical situation, whether to utilize life-saving methods. Let me share that with you.
It was September 30th, 2008, when the doctor came in and he just said that my mom had a cardiac arrest. They told me that I had to make a decision. They said we can do A, we could try to revive her, but we'll probably break every bone in her body and she's feeling all the pain. Or B, you know, we'll just let life take its course and, you know, we'll let her pass in peace. So frantically, I had a minute to decide what I had to decide, either life or this. And, you know, I was told not to let the decision that I was going to make at that moment haunt me for the rest of my life. So I made the decision to let her go. I remember I just laid at her side and I was just weeping like crazy. I told her everything I was grateful for. I told her, thank you so much for how you raised me. And the sad thing about it is that was the only time I did it. I never did it before. I never told my mom how much I loved her. I never told her anything until that moment. After that, I remember I kissed her and I said goodbye. I went inside the waiting room. I heard all these noises again, but no pitter-patter in the feet, no nothing, you know? And I remember I looked it up in him, I was like, is it over? And he said, yeah, it's over. To this day, she's always in the back of my mind every time I do my schoolwork. Everything I do, because she just taught me how to love, how to be kind, how to be real, how to be genuine towards people. Live every second as if you're your last, and always help the poor. Live simply so other people can simply live.
That probably is one of the more difficult choices for those who have already had to go through something similar to what that young man went through, is to choose whether to utilize methods that will keep someone alive or not, and the doctors are giving you all those choices. And it's at those moments where it's tough. We don't know what's going to happen next. But Jesus was saying from that mount up on the perch on the mountain, he was saying that throughout life, you can choose the narrow road and the narrow path that leads to me, or you can go with the masses, and you can go with just the sentiment of wherever public opinion was or is. And he's giving us the guidance from thousands of years ago that we're going to need that kind of guidance. And I want to share with you just a little different angle on choices. This is not my original thought. I found it doing the research, and I thought this is really interesting when I chose this particular passage. And they talked about the three R's of choice. So my first thought was, how can you have an R in choice? Obviously, the word doesn't have it. What are they talking about? And essentially, they're talking about God gives us the right to choose. The free will that God gives us is important. He gives us the responsibility for the choices that we make, and most importantly, to live with the results of our choices. So what does that mean, the right to choose? Let me refer to James for a moment. And it says, let no one say when he is tempted that I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Essentially, he was giving us a heads up that you have the right to choose. You can go left or you can go right. But in the process of making that decision, you're going to start thinking of things. And he is telling us where you think is where your choices are going to take you. Be careful of the thoughts that you have. Make sure they're good and wholesome and pure. And it can be in trivial stuff. We just recently had a kitchen remodel. And I was hearkening back to something I saw when I went to a client's location. They have sort of a saying up on the computer every day. And one of the individuals had put up there, he went into a customer's business place, walked into the lobby, and in the lobby it said, tell the truth. Really big and broad on a wall. And I thought, that's interesting. Tell the truth. How hard can that be? Wow. It's tough. You wouldn't know. 2 days later, we made a decision, as all home remodeling projects start small and they tend to grow, that we were putting down some hardwood floor in the kitchen as part of the new cabinets. And then we thought, that really doesn't look good the way it's being laid out, and some other things we were doing with our back. So we decided in our back family room, maybe we ought to just do some hardwood back there as well. So we did that. Well, while I was talking with Sally about that, the contractor called in and ordered 3 additional boxes of flooring and told the company that they didn't send enough wood to account for the amount of scrap that you're going to have in the natural laying of the floor. And they said, oh, okay, we're sorry. We'll send you out 3 more boxes. Little did I know what he was really counting on was later on I had to order 8 more boxes to do the entire back. But I needed 11. And he said, hide the other 3 in your garage so you don't have to pay for them and you only have to pay for the 8. At that moment, I was faced with one of those decisions that God talks about, a choice. What do I do? Now, for me, it was pretty easy. And I thought of that saying that showed up on my computer a few weeks before, tell the truth. And I just told the truth. I said, no, I'm not going to do that. If it turns out that we didn't need them for the scrap, I'm going to pay for those 3. So when I ordered the extra 8, I told the gentleman, I said, you sent out 3. We're going to use those in the back room because we didn't need them in the front. There wasn't as much scrap as they thought. And I found out later, he was in the back of his mind probably thinking that. I said, I'm going to pay for those. But I thought, that's what God's telling us, that everyday life there's going to be things every single day where you have to make a decision, whether it's something as trivial as that or something as important as displayed in that video. Then we have the responsibility for the choices. In Matthew, it said, why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments. And he's essentially saying to us, as long as you understand that I give you free will, that at the end of the day, you're going to be the one that is responsible. Not God. He's perfect. We're not perfect. We can't be perfect, and he knows that. But he also knows that with the free will, there's going to be times when we're tempted. There's going to be times when we do make the wrong choice. But through the grace and through the forgiveness of his son, Jesus Christ, and his death, and more importantly, his resurrection on that cross, he provides for us. He knew that we would sometimes make the wrong choice and that there is always salvation available to us. But you have to know what path you're walking. Now, I don't remember this from Alice in Wonderland, but there is a point in the Alice in Wonderland where she's going down the path, and she's got a choice to make. And she looks up at the old Cheshire Cat and says, "Where, what fork do I take? Which road do I take?" she asked the cat. And the cat said, "Where do you want to go?" Alice said, "I don't know." Then he said, "It doesn't matter." If you aren't guided, if you don't have an idea of what path that you're on, you're like Alice in Wonderland, where it really doesn't matter what choices we make. We're just wandering through life and following a path. Now, I'm not saying there's some times I love when I'm going to client locations out of town. If I've got a couple of hours, I'm ahead of schedule, and I see something interesting, I just pull off. And now I've ended up in some areas where I went, oh no, I shouldn't have made that turn. I was down in some hollers in Kentucky where I ended up on a mountaintop where they were strip mining, and I was in places I shouldn't have been. I know that. And I also ended up next to a road that went way, way down. No guardrails, no nothing. I've ended up in forests, so deep in a forest I had no clue where I was. And then your GPS stops working. And then I'm a little like Robert Frost. You really do start looking. Okay, I know the path I'm on. I know I want to eventually go north. Here's the sun. If I can just keep making turns, that'll get me there. But like Alice, I eventually knew where I wanted to be. I know our destination, just like all of us here, that mansion. We talked about, we joked a little bit about Jerry with the microphone. But there's a hole left in us when we lose someone that we love. I can remember Grant always talking about that we should celebrate the fact that they're in a place that's so different that we can't even imagine. what heaven must be like. But we have that emptiness that we just miss somebody. But at the same time, we should be celebrating. They're up there waiting for us. Jerry's probably at the Dew Drop Inn, I can tell you that. Every Saturday morning for the men's group, I would always kid with Betty that Jerry had never showed up for our monthly meeting. He must have gone to the Dew Drop Inn, and he had been there all Saturday morning. But God knows, and he gives us that support as long as we're on the right path. And then the last one he says to us is, you have to accept the responsibility or the results of the choices that you make. And in Romans 2, it says, God will repay each person according to what they have done. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. It's pretty simple. Every single day, as long as we know where we're headed, as long as we are guided by the words in the Bible, and we look, there used to be that the bracelets that everyone would wear, what would Jesus do? And while it's somewhat trivial or somewhat trite, that really is, should be a guiding force. But I always thought about that bracelet a little differently. Not what would Jesus do, but I thought, what would Jesus want me to do? And when I just added that little question, when I was faced with those whys in the roads, I didn't always make the right decision. Sometimes that bracelet was back here. And I would think things I shouldn't think or say things that I shouldn't say. I have a little hot temper. I'm short-fused. And sometimes all of a sudden that bracelet isn't where it should be, if you will, right out in front. What would Jesus want me to do? But as you go out and leave this place today, tomorrow, next week, and the following weeks, Pastor Larry is going to be talking about a series over the next 6 or 8 weeks on life's choices. Now, what's interesting is I had no idea he was going to do that when I chose my topic, but God works in mysterious ways, and it just came together. And through all of these series of messages that will be delivered over the next few months, it really is, what would Jesus want us to do every single day? And with every choice that we make, he wants us to walk that narrow road. He wants us to enter through that gate into the gate of heaven, narrow as it might be, but reserved for each and every one of us. Amen. Let's end with a prayer. Oh Lord, we thank you for the freedom that you give us. We thank you for everything that you have provided for us. We know that in our lives there will be challenges, there will be times when we turn away, when we make decisions sometimes that lead us on the path of public opinion and where the masses are going, and we know you want us on that more narrow road. But we also know that you give us a why in that road over and over again to take us back to that narrow path, to do what Jesus wants us to do and what you want us to do as we make our choices in life, so that the most important choice is the one that we face on Judgment Day when you look at us and you say, you may enter through this narrow gate. May God be with each and every one this week, whether we meet here or in eternity. Amen.